Welcome to Unscriptured. I'm Amy, and together we will untangle the Bible, breaking it down as we go. My hope is that this podcast will take away some of the anxiety and the fear that we have when we approach the Bible. Through each episode, we will learn some of the background and the thought that went into the stories contained in Scripture, so that it's no longer intimidating and off-putting to crack open our Bibles and jump right in. In our last episode, we climbed the mountain with Isaac and Abraham as Abraham responded to God's call to sacrifice his son. And we witnessed the first death in the family of promise as Sarah's life came to an end. Today, we will continue to see how Abraham puts his affairs in order, this time searching for a wife for his beloved son. We will read Genesis chapter 24 in this episode, and before we do, just a little information to get us started. Genesis chapter 24 takes the cake for being the longest chapter in Genesis. Its length is a hint that something important is taking place within its verses. In short, this chapter serves to tie up some of the loose ends of the Abraham story. Some scholars have even noted that it functions as Abraham's deathbed scene. In this chapter, he commissions his servant to find a wife for his son, Isaac, so that the divine promises will continue into the next generation. With that, let us begin with Genesis chapter 24, verses 1 through 9. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his house, who had charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I live, but will go to my country and to my kindred and get a wife for my son Isaac." The servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came?" Abraham said to him, "See to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke to me and swore to me, 'To your offspring I will give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Here we find Abraham as a very old man. Remember that he was already 100 years old when Isaac was born. At this point, he is approximately 130 years old. He knows that his time is drawing near, so he decides to take action to provide a way for the divine promises given to him to pass on to his son Isaac. So he calls his servant to him, requesting that the servant place his hand under Abraham's thigh. This ritual might seem a little weird or odd to us, but it held great meaning for the people of Abraham's time. Whether the servant literally or figuratively put his hand under Abraham's thigh joins the oath to the symbolism of Abraham's reproductive organ, an appropriate source of authority for the patriarch. There is thought that perhaps by touching it, the person swearing the oath calls sterility or loss of children upon himself should he violate the oath. So Abraham's servant does what he is commanded, and Abraham instructs him to find a suitable wife for his son Isaac. This wife will not come from the land of Canaan, but will come from Abraham's own family. You see, intermarriage with the Canaanites was a lethal threat to Abraham's identity and destiny. In addition, there is symbolic meaning behind Abraham sending his servant back to his home and his own extended family. It brings his story full circle and ensures his legacy will continue into the next generation. Isaac's wife will come from his extended family, but, and this is important, but Isaac is not to return to Abraham's homeland himself. If Isaac were to settle in the place from which Abraham migrated, that would be untrue to God's call and the promise for the land. Abraham understands this consequence of his own call. He was called by God to leave his homeland and not return in order to take possession of a land promised by God. He lives into that consequence himself, and since Isaac will inherit Abraham's call, the same consequence is placed upon Isaac as well. Let us continue with Genesis chapter 24, verses 10 through 14. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all kinds of choice gifts from his master. And he set out and went to Aram Naharim, to the city of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water. It was toward evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. I am standing here by the spring of water, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. Let the girl to whom I shall say, please offer your jar that I may drink, and who shall say, drink and I will water your camels, let her be the one whom you have appointed to your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. The servant departs and begins his journey to Abraham's homeland, taking 10 camels and many gifts along with him. Outside of the city, he stops at a well. In Middle Eastern tribal societies, the well is one of the few places where a man can meet an unmarried woman. It is at this well that he turns to God in prayer. He asks that God show steadfast love, or hesed, to Abraham, meaning that God's love for Abraham would manifest itself in the success of the servant's journey. The servant's prayer, however, becomes more precise as he prays for God's loving kindness to not only result in his success, but he lays out the details of what that will look like. The woman to whom he will speak in a certain way and who will respond in a certain way, will be the one destined to be Isaac's wife. At this point, we gain clarity on why the detail that the servant brings 10 camels was deemed important enough to include in the telling and retelling of this story. The camels become the vehicle through which the servant will know God's choice. The woman who stops to water the servant's camels, all 10 of them, will be the one whom God has chosen. This action on the part of the woman will be considered an offer of extraordinary hospitality and labor, especially since she will provide water for each of those camels, the servant, and her own family from the jar that she carries with her. Her extraordinary generosity and kindness must mirror that of her future father-in-laws, hearkening back to Abraham's hospitality to the three strangers in Genesis chapter 18. We continue now with Genesis chapter 24, verses 15 through 21. Before he had finished speaking, there was Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, coming out with her water jar on her shoulder. The girl was very fair to look upon, a virgin whom no man had known. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me sip a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw for your camels also, until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw. And she drew for all his camels. The man gazed at her in silence to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. Before the servant can even finish his prayer, a woman arrives at the well. Immediately we are given her genealogy, which identifies her as a member of Abraham's extended family. She is Isaac's second cousin on his father's side. We're also clued into her fitness as a match for Isaac because we're told of her physical beauty, very fair, and marriageability, that she's a virgin. She fills her jar at the well, and as she is returning, the servant runs to meet her, requesting a drink for himself from her jar. As she gives consent, there is a moment of suspense in the story. Her response, "Drink, my lord," does not include the camels, but only the servant. It is only after he has finished drinking that she offers to water the camels, emphatically showing her hospitality and passing the test. Her haste in providing water both to the servant and his 10 camels reminds us of Abraham's response in preparing a feast for and welcoming his visitors in Genesis chapter 18. Even though Rebecca has passed the test, the servant does not immediately know that this is the woman for whom he prayed. This passage of scripture ends with the servant gazing in silence at Rebecca, waiting for the Lord to officially reveal that she is the one who has been chosen. We continue with Genesis chapter 24, verses 22 through 33. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold nose ring weighing a half shekel and 2 bracelets for her arms weighing 10 gold shekels and said, "Tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor." She added, "We have plenty of straw and fodder and a place to spend the night." The man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord and said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness toward my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the way to the house of my master's kin." Then the girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to the man to the spring. As soon as he had seen the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms, and when he had heard the words of his sister Rebekah, "Thus the man spoke to me," he went to the man, and there he was standing by the camels at the spring. He said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside when I have prepared the house and a place for the camels?" So the man came into the house, and Laban unloaded the camels and gave him straw and fodder for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Then food was set before him to eat, but he said, "I will not eat until I have told my errand." He said, "Speak on." It seems as though God somehow reveals to the servant that this woman he has met at the well is the one that God has chosen to be Isaac's wife. As a result, the servant immediately gives public thanks to the Lord and presents Rebekah with gifts consisting of a gold nose ring and gold bracelets. These gifts serve to showcase Abraham's great wealth. It is interesting to me, though, that the servant asks for Rebekah's lineage only after giving her the gifts from Abraham. Perhaps this serves to showcase the servant's great faith in God, that he doesn't need verbal confirmation from Rebekah that she's related to Abraham to know that God has chosen her. Well, after receiving the gifts from the servant, Rebekah welcomes him into her family's home to spend the night. Not only did she show great hospitality at the well, but she also welcomes this man into their home. Rebekah runs ahead of the servant to tell her family about what has just happened at the well. Her brother Laban takes notice of the beautiful and expensive gifts given to Rebekah, and because of these gifts, he extends hospitality to the servant. This reveals Laban's greed, which stands in marked contrast both to Abraham's and Rebekah's generosity and hospitality. The servant accepts Laban's offer and enters the family's home. As Laban seeks to get him settled in for the evening, the servant insists on sharing the reason for his visit first. With that, let us read Genesis chapter 24, verses 34 through 49. So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become wealthy. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female slaves, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and he has given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house, to my kindred, and get a wife for my son. I said to my master, Perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and make your way successful. You shall get a wife for my son from my kindred, from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my kindred. Even if they will not give her to you, you will be free from my oath. I came today to the spring and said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make successful the way I am going. I am standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, Please give me a little water from your jar to drink, and who will say to me, Drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah, coming out with her water jar on her shoulder. And she went down to the spring and drew. I said to her, Please let me drink. She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will also water your camels. So I drank, and she also watered the camels. Then I asked her, Whose daughter are you? She said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to obtain the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you will deal loyally and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, so that I may turn either to the right hand or to the left. The servant's insistence on relaying the story for his visit and what happened at the well is a strategic move on his part. He knows that he needs the family's approval to take Rebekah back to marry Isaac, so he uses the story to persuade them. As the servant retells the events, he gives God such a prominent role, emphasizing all the blessings God has wrought on Abraham's behalf. Furthermore, the servant strategically rephrases Abraham's statement from the command that the woman must be willing to follow to the command that her family must give her to the servant. The purpose of this rephrasing is to make the men in the family the deciding agents instead of Rebekah. This feeds into the male-dominant, patriarchal nature of the family in that time. The servant also reverses the order of events at the well to give Rebekah's family the impression that it was her pedigree rather than her character that most commended her. You see, the servant is really trying to win Rebekah's family over with this reworking of the story as he asks Laban and Bethuel to allow Rebekah to come back with him and marry Isaac. In his request to them, the servant even uses the same language to describe their decision as he used of God. For them to allow Rebekah to come with him would be to show kindness and faithfulness to Abraham. And he waits for their response. With that, we read Genesis chapter 24, verses 50 through 61. Then Laban and Bethuel answered, The thing comes from the Lord, and we cannot speak to you anything good or bad. Look, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the ground before the Lord. And the servant brought out jewelry of silver and of gold, and garments, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave to her brother and to her mother costly ornaments. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank, and they spent the night there. When they rose in the morning, he said, Send me back to my master. Her brother and her mother said, Let the girl remain with us for a while, at least 10 days. After that she may go. But he said to them, Do not delay me, since the Lord has made my journey successful. Let me go, that I may go to my master. They said, We will call the girl and ask her. And they called Rebekah and said to her, Will you go with this man? She said, I will. So they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse, along with Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, May you, our sister, become thousands of myriads. May your offspring gain possession of the gates of their foes. Then Rebekah and her maids rose up, mounted the camels, and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Scripture makes it seem like Laban and Bethuel answer almost immediately. They believe the witness of the servant constitutes a word from God, testifying to a rich and deep faith in God that's present in this family. The servant responds in gratitude, bowing before the Lord. He also produces more gifts for Rebekah from Abraham's family, jewelry and clothing, as they all celebrate the fact that Rebekah will marry Abraham's son. When morning comes, the servant is ready to return to Abraham, but Rebekah's family seeks to delay her departure for a few days, as was the custom. However, the servant is set on leaving that day with Rebekah, and so they call on Rebekah to make her own decision. Rebekah responds that she will go with the servant and will not delay. The words that she speaks, I will, reminds us of Abraham's response to God's call in Genesis chapter 12. Rebekah thus becomes a kind of Abraham figure in her own right. As the family sends Rebekah away, they leave her with a blessing. Their words echo the blessing that the angel gives Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, verse 17, which says, I will indeed bless you, and I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of their enemies. Both of these blessings focus on the future generations of the family and their success. And yet again in this story, the author draws direct connections between Rebekah and Abraham. We now conclude Genesis chapter 24 with verses 62 through 67. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahairoi and was settled in the Negev. Isaac went out in the evening to walk in the field, and looking up, he saw camels coming. And Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she slipped quickly from the camel and said to the servant, Who is the man over there walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, It is my master. So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. We jump in these verses from Rebekah's departure to Isaac's welcoming of her. As Isaac is walking in the field, he looks up and sees camels, but Rebekah sees him. She veils herself, an enticing form of concealment, as a marriageable woman before a marriageable man. The veil could also be a signal from Rebekah that she accepts Isaac as her husband. The servant meets Isaac and tells Isaac the story of everything that has taken place since Abraham commissioned him to find Isaac a wife. Of interesting note is that the servant now refers to Isaac as his master. Everywhere else in the chapter, my master refers to Abraham, and Isaac has been called his or my master's son. Perhaps Abraham has died while his steward was on his sacred mission. The chapter ends with Isaac taking Rebekah as his wife and taking her into his mother Sarah's tent. Rebekah's presence in Sarah's tent signifies her new role as matriarch of this family. A touching detail in the last verse of Genesis chapter 24 tells us that Isaac did not just formally take Rebekah as his wife, but he loved her as well. What might have been just an arranged marriage grows into a loving relationship. In our next episode, we conclude the Abraham story as we begin to follow Isaac's call to live into the divine promises given to his father. Catch you next time on Unscriptured. All of the readings in this episode come from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Resources that help shape today's episode include the HarperCollins Study Bible, the Jewish Study Bible, and the New Interpreter's Bible Commentary. For more information on how each of those shaped this episode, I encourage you to check out my website, www.unscriptured.wix.com/BibleStudy.